have, hello, welcome. We're going to have some testimony sharing based on Judges chapter 8. The date today is April 29th, 2012.
Lord rules. Judges 8:1-21, Peter's 8:23. But Gideon told them, I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you. Lord rule over you. Your Heavenly Father, bless the testimony and serve today. Help us to get rewards and focus on the enemy. Help us let the Lord rule and stand on the side of God's people instead among them. Last week's passage was pretty harsh. Killing battles, kingship, and choice between two sides. Gideon's men were persistent, and he led them well as a diplomatic leader. When they needed help, someone came to help him, as seen in verse 6 and 8. Because of this, the people were punished. God gave Gideon and his men the victory because they stood up for Jesus. We can be like Gideon or like the leaders, either being on the sidelines or choosing the right side like we should. I sometimes do the former. I complain and wish I was doing something better with my time, or I choose the ways of the world and what's right when I'm at school or some other place. This is wrong and I should not stand on the fence to be a great leader. Two, the Israelites wanted a human leader, but they should have let Jesus, their strength and king, be their leader. Gideon pointed them to God and peace filled them. So through his life, we can see how prayerful and humanity is. So my one word is a four.
Thank you.
Gideon's death.
This is Mark.
Judges 8:28-35. Gideon's lifetime, Gideon had peace for 40 years. Went home to live, had 70 sons, who had many wives. Also bore some name of Abimelech. Gideon then died at a good old age. He was buried in Ophrah, and after his death, the Israelites began prostituting themselves to the Baals and worshiped Baal. They had forgotten God. They had forgotten his teachings. They also showed to Gideon's family no kindness for all they've done. This is the problem I will face in my distant future. I must remember the things God and others have taught me towards guidance and righteousness when I no longer have contact with me. One word, remember God's teachings.
Thank you, Mark. Julie.
That's the Lord's rule. But Gideon told him, I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you, the Lord will rule over you. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who dwelt among men, showed us true humanity as well as who you are. By your grace, my sins are forgiven. Help us to live a life of love, holding on to the truth, and to be your instruments to reveal Jesus to a fallen world. Thank you for blessing the kids' church in New York. Continue to bless their singing and lead their lives into true leadership and fruitfulness. As we read testimonies on Judges' Bible study, help us to listen and be transformed from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. Gideon was gracious in leadership, demonstrating humility and showing respect to the Ephraimites. When they complained and criticized him, he answered them, what have I accomplished compared to you? And what was I able to do compared to you? At this, their resentment against him subsided. A good leader recognizes that success is interdependent, and that without having people that he can count on, he would be a weak leader without followers. Gideon respected the Ephraimites and won their hearts with this humble response. Gideon was also a hot, mighty warrior who kept up the pursuit even when exhausted, but he was immature and acted in vengeance beyond the call. When the men of the region refused his request for bread to feed his troops, he responded with personal threats in verses 7 through 8. Just for that, when the Lord has given his kingdom into my hand, I will tear your flesh with desert thorns and briars. And he also said to the other men, when I return in triumph, I will tear down his tower. Perhaps Gideon was high on the adrenaline of victory, feeling invincible. In verses 11 through 12, he seems not at all the same man who was unconvinced of God's presence and needed to put out fleas for confirmation of God's calling. Here he fell in an unsuspecting army and then captured and routed along with his fellow. When that was done again, he acts childishly, not turning the other cheek or moving on, but going on a killing spree and, in his opinion, teaching the men of Sabah the lesson by punishing them. The men of Peniel were not innocent, but the refusal of a few people there to feed Gideon's army was hardly an offense punishable by death to the whole town. Gideon took king's ornaments for himself after he killed the Midianite kings. He was also plotted by pride from their tongue for him to show his strength. The Israelites said to Gideon, rule over us, you, your son, and your grandson, because you have saved us out of the hand of Midian. God told him, go in the strength you have, and also called him a mighty warrior. Gideon was strong, but it was God who placed him in a position of leadership, not his strength. The people seem to have chosen him as their leader based on a demonstration of his strength, not necessarily because they accepted his instructions. Verse 23 seems like false humility. The Gideon told them, I will not rule over you, nor will my son rule over you, the Lord will rule over you. The reason it sounds false is his request in the verse that follows. And he said, I do have one request, that each of you give me an earring from your share of the plunder. If he was not their king, why should he be given such an expensive transit after the battle? It amounted to 40 pounds of gold. In today's dollars, that's a treasure worth over $1 million. What he did with that 40 pounds of gold was no better. He made an ephod that became an object of worship. What he did with the plunder from the kings is not mentioned, but he may have worn the purple garments and used the ornaments and pendants of his own animals. So in essence, he rejected the kingship but led by the king anyway. The premise of today's passage is that the Lord is king, and that those who respect his lordship and honor him for their victory should honor him as king. Verses 33 and 34 describe idolatry with the Baal as a result of forgetting God's grace. The closer to home, losing touch with grace affects how we treat others and what we do after victory. I repent of how I treat those around me. Sometimes I live like I think I'm the king, like if my order should be obeyed without question. I also feel like teaching people a lesson just for studying me. As a mom, I'm supposed to be the mature one in the room. This passage convinces me that I'm more immature than they are in certain ways. I need to learn to respect my kids, especially in ways that they are better than me. I need to appreciate and support their accomplishments rather than just battle them for power as necessary. I see myself in getting an immature attitude and pray to have a right view of myself and others than others have. One word, the Lord is king, don't be immature.